Please, Almighty God, to bless us together this morning as we meditate in His Word. Let us turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 24, and we'll read verse 34. The book of Genesis, chapter 24, and reading verse 34. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. This is a very short statement by this man who was the senior servant of Abraham. And as we read together in this chapter, we see how God wonderfully directed Abraham with regard to his servant and what he was to do and how he followed that direction of Abraham, and how God graciously appeared for him and indeed heard his prayer and answered his prayer in a wonderful way. And I'm sure that God, in his infinite love and mercy, has provided such an account in the Word of God to encourage us today, because we know very surely that God is the great God who does not change. And God is a God who still today hears and answers prayer. And as Abraham's servant clearly heard God's, or saw rather, God's answer to his prayer, and how everything worked out in a wonderful way, may we be encouraged in our lives to believe that we come before the same great Almighty God. This man said, I am Abraham's servant. And in essence, all God's people are the servants of Almighty God. We all have a place to play in this world. If the Lord has called us out of that state of darkness into the marvelous light, we are therefore no longer our own. We are no longer those who can just rely on our own abilities and plan our own life. No, we are bought with a price. And that price is none other than the price of our redemption, which is the shed blood of the Saviour. And so, may we have a realization of our condition before a holy God. It's so easy to just carry on in our little lives and indeed form our own plans, have our own ideas, and yet you see, not be concerned about doing the will and purpose of Almighty God. Now, in this instance, Abraham's servant was an obedient servant. But yet he didn't just go with, we might term, blind faith. That means faith that was not concerned to hear and to do God's will. It was a faith which God had given him so that he was able to pray unto God. And it is so relevant to realize that here was this man. He knew the journey he had to take. He knew the place that Abraham had directed him to. And it was to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. And so he journeyed to that place, and he came to the outside of that city and came to the well. And in the evening time, the time that women go out to water, and what was the first thing that he did? He prayed unto God. how relevant it is for us today in our lives. And all of us, you children, young people, middle-aged and old people, to come in our lives and constantly to be found praying to God for guidance, for direction, for blessing. And especially perhaps as we are on the first Lord's Day of this year with the unknown of it before us, to be able to come and to commit our way unto the Lord, praying that the Lord will go before us, the Lord will appear for us, the Lord will direct us. Now, this servant of Abraham, he was blessed with faith in God. And what a wonderful thing it is if we are blessed with faith in God and we have his prayer. It wasn't long. It wasn't wordy. It didn't have a lot of padding. It was very direct. Oh Lord, God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy eunuch camels rather drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Well, I'm sure we can agree that was a very direct and very concise and very specific prayer. But it was prayed for the honor and glory of God. And it was prayed that the Lord would hear and answer this man's prayer. And we're told then in a very wonderful way, it came to pass. Be assured of this, the Lord does hear and answer our prayer. Not always in the way that we would like, in the way that we would want, but nonetheless he does answer. And just let us be clear that sometimes you and I pray for things which are not in accordance with the divine will and purpose of God. And on such occasions, the Lord answers, but he doesn't say yes, he says no. And we should not be disappointed if the Lord does say no. Because if we have sought his blessing and his guidance, we shall acknowledge it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Well, on this occasion, in a very remarkable way, we're told it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out. Before he'd done speaking, you see, the Lord knew what Abraham's servant was going to pray. He knew, no doubt, how Abraham had prayed. And therefore he knew what he would do. Isn't that good to realize in our lives? God knows what he will do in your life and in my life. We're not walking into the unknown. It's unknown to us. It's not unknown to God. The Lord knows. He knows the way that we take in every detail. And what a blessing it is if that pathway leads us in no uncertain terms to the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be directed in our little lives. And so we see that Rebekah came out, and Rebekah was directed by God. She wouldn't have been aware of that, but she was directed to do those things that Abraham's servant had prayed for. And so Abraham's servant stood and watched. So that was the great blessing, because he was a concern to know that this would be of God, or whether it was not, he was concerned, therefore, that it might be so. And we're told that the when this occurred, that the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him to drink. And also then she said she would draw water for the camels. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again and to draw water, and drew for all the camels. And therefore we see here Abraham's servant, the wisdom given to him, and we're told the man wondered at her and held his peace. Yes, he just stood and watched whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Yes, it was a trial of faith. We read it. We know the answer. We know how wonderful it was. But here was a man having his faith tested, as you and I will have in our lives, as we may ask for certain things. And we have to wait, and we have to watch for answers to those prayers. And so that's what occurred here. And then, of course, he asked her the question, asked whose daughter she was, and whether there was room in her house for food for the camels. And the woman said, "We have both straw and provender, enough and room to lodge in." And then we see the result of that statement. We see the result or what had occurred to the prayer which Abraham's servant had put up. This is what happened. "And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord." What a wonderful testimony that is. What good instruction that is for us as we go forth into the unknown of this year. If the Lord hears and answers our prayer, the first thing we do is to bow down before God and worship the Lord. It's a wonderful and glorious testimony. And it's therefore our instruction. How often perhaps we seem to forget. We pass over these things. But here it is recorded. And what does he say? It would seem he spoke in his heart these words. "Blessed be the Lord God, my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth, I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." The Lord graciously had directed him. It's an amazing account, isn't it, to think of this. How was this man, you know, coming to an unknown place, probably never been to before, but here was God going before him. And then the Lord appearing for him in a most remarkable way. Now, we should recognize today, many years afterwards, God has not changed. And what a mercy if we have the evidence in our lives of God hearing and answering our prayers. And so this woman, she ran and she told her mother's house and Laban, her brother, and out he ran and came and found Abraham's servant and spoke those beautiful words to him and said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without?" And so we see that Abraham's servant went in, and of course he fed the camels, and they washed their feet, and then there was food put before them to eat. And this is the very relevant part here, because what happened? He said, "I will not eat until I have told mine errand." And he said, "Speak on." What was he doing? He was putting first things first. Isn't it good to have a wonderful example for us today, to put in our life first things first? And what did he say? He didn't know, of course, who he was. He hadn't told them who he was. He hadn't told Rebecca who he was. But now he does. And he speaks very simply and very plainly. And he says, "I am Abraham's servant. I am Abraham's servant." And then he gives a very accurate account of everything that had happened. Yes, what a God-glorifying account it was. What a wonderful account to be able to trace out and see how the Lord appeared for him, and how the Lord had indeed answered his prayers and done precisely what he desired. And he tells them, and it's good, you know, to tell what God had done. And he comes down and he tells them what he'd done. He said, "I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son." And then he asks, he says, "And now deal kindly and truly with my master. Tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left." And the answer from Laban was very simple. "The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good." Isn't it a wonderful thing when there is the clear evidence that things proceed from the Lord? And I believe it is evident today when things proceed from the Lord, when there have been those evidences, those testimonies of God's leading, those testimonies of God's answer to prayer, those blessings, those favors, to be able to testify and to hear and to have the acknowledgement that this thing proceedeth from the Lord. And surely, as you and I venture forward into the unknown of this year, we want to know that the things which occur proceed from the Lord. The Lord graciously comes and blesses us. They don't proceed from our own imagination. They don't proceed from our own ideas. They indeed come and they proceed from Almighty God. What a wonderful thing it is. And, you know, when you think of this, you think of this account, it should be a big encouragement to you young people in a day and age in which we live, because in the natural order of events, it is good that we seek after a husband or a wife, and that we pray to God for these things. And we seek to God that he will appear for us. Now you see, the example and testimony is here that Abraham's servant, he didn't ask for any special person, anybody that would be, you know, wonderful to look at, or anybody would have a wonderful knowledge or a wonderful idea of things. No, he only wanted the Lord God to provide a wife for his master's son Isaac. That was his concern. And when she came, he didn't question whether this was the right one or the wrong one. He'd had a very clear leading and direction from God that this was the right one. Yes, what a mercy then for you young people today to be able to come and commit your way to the Lord, that he will indeed provide for you a husband. He will indeed provide for you a wife. Remember, nothing is too hard for the Lord. The things which are impossible with man are possible with God. Well, may the Lord God give you faith in these things, faith to trust, faith to believe. And indeed, there was another testing time, really, before Abraham's sermon, and that was when he desired that Rebekah might come with him. You see, the family wanted her to stay with them for another 10 days, and it wasn't an unreasonable request, was it? It was a very sensible request. But you see, Abraham's servant didn't want to be distracted from that which God had prospered him so far. And he comes and speaks these words. And he says, hinder me not. Didn't want to be stopped. So they said, they called for Rebekah. And they asked her that great question, will thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Well, it's a glorious account, isn't it? It's a wonderful account to encourage us in our lives to believe that here was God's choice of this woman, Rebekah, to be Isaac's wife. And we know, of course, that it turned out well. We know it was in accordance with God's will. And let me say clearly this, God's choice is always the best. God doesn't make any mistakes with his choice. You and I may make mistakes with our choice, but God never does. And so we have a very wonderful account here before us. And let us not forget the pattern, the prayer, the thanksgiving, the acknowledgement, the blessing. They all emanated from Almighty God. Yes. And we might say, firstly, Abraham's servant obeyed his master. He didn't say, well, I think this is too difficult a task, I'm not going. He obeyed his master. And off he went. And then we see, secondly, we might say, God gave him living faith to pray to God. He didn't come there and wonder and think, well, I wonder who's going to turn up and who shall I select? No, he prayed to God. And let's not forget that then, to come in our lives with faith, but to pray and not to lay down conditions as to what the person might be like. No, it was just a condition that she might follow a pattern so that he might know that this was the one. And thirdly, God answered. You see, if you and I have prayed, you and I have sought for God's direction, then we want to be able to observe God's answer in these things. So God did hear, and God did answer. And then there was the acknowledgement in his answer. Abraham's servant had a good reception. He might have been very fearful. We perhaps sometimes are very fearful of what the reception might be. No, he had a good reception. So fourthly, we see God therefore provided the way and gave Abraham's servant a good reception. And what had he done? What had Abraham done? Well, he put first things first. Yes, he hadn't brought his own views, his own considerations. Yes, he put first things first. He didn't put his meal first, didn't put his natural food first. No, he wanted God to clearly be seen. Therefore, he wanted to tell his story, tell his account. Isn't it good when you and I are moved by the Spirit of God to tell what God has done, what God has directed us in, as being more important than anything else? Yes, he'd gone there and he'd fed the camels and they'd washed their feet, and now he told his account. And God was in that account, and God gave them a willing spirit and a willingness to recognize it was emanating from Almighty God. You see, God makes the mountains flow down. God appears. And then he didn't want to be hindered. No, he didn't want to be stopped. And then we see Rebecca's willingness to follow. Well, it's a wonderful account, but you know, we cannot leave the account there without bringing it to our personal lives and our personal spiritual life. And we have before us in the Word of God a most wonderful example, a greater example than Abraham's servant. And of course, our greatest and most glorious example is none other than the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a wonderful commission set before him by his Father. A wonderful commission to come into a sinful world. A wonderful commission to die that sin atoning death for his people. My friends, how willing was Jesus to die that we fellow sinners might live? What a wonderful example we have. And oh, may we think today, and indeed think throughout the year, of the wonderful example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who pleased not himself. No, he pleased his Father. And what he had to endure and what he had to suffer to save our souls from hell. We who are sinful wretches, we who deserve eternal punishment, we who deserve eternal separation from God, to think that this great and glorious Son of God did his Father's will and came and gave his life upon that cross at Calvary so many years ago, and that death is still powerful today. That death was given as a sacrifice, an acceptable sacrifice to his Father and to our Father. My friends, it was an acceptable sacrifice on our behalf. Oh, can we not praise God for that? And I hope today, as you and I come before God with all our needs, we're able to come and to pray unto him as a priority to pray to him that he will appear, that he will deliver us, that he will direct us to view yon lovely man, the great and glorious Saviour, to realize that he is our friend. We go forth into this year. We're not alone. We're not alone. But the Jesus goes with us. And he goes before us. Yes, the path has been walked before us. The Lord Jesus, in his great and glorious path, has gone before. He has fought the great battle of life on our behalf. He's conquered the great enemy of our souls. Oh, my friends, what an enemy we have in the devil, who would always endeavor to turn us away from the things of God, would ever endeavor to tempt us to believe that we do not have a God who hears and answers prayer. But may we indeed be blessed with simple faith like Abraham's servant was. Yes, he was. I am Abraham's servant. It was a very simple statement, but it was a very true statement. Let us not think we're anybody other than a servant. To be able to say, yes, by the grace of God, I am the Lord's servant in our lives, whatever that may be. And God knows what he has in store for each one of us in the year ahead, in the years ahead, perhaps. But may we each be concerned to be those who are the servant of the Most High God. That our concern is to honor and glorify him who has done so much, has graciously and gloriously died on our behalf. He's bore the punishment instead. He's taken away all our sins. And you know, in order to do that, he had to die. He had to shed his blood. There was no less was required of the Son of God than to sacrifice himself. Well, may we go on our way today rejoicing. We have cause to praise God. We have cause to rejoice in the great plan of salvation. And oh, may we each be enabled to do it, trusting wholly in the Lord, dependent upon him, committing our way unto him. Trust also in him that he will bring it to pass, everything that you and I need in our natural life, and to bring to pass that glory, that eternal inheritance which the Lord has prepared for all his church. May we each be among that number, that one day, by his grace, by his immutable love to unworthy sinners, will be found around the throne of God in heaven, praising him throughout eternity. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. Amen.